God's word for you, 1 Chronicles 16, verses 23 to 26. We'll begin with 23 and 24. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all the peoples. The first order of worship is to give glory to God. Here, in two verses, David describes this giving of glory, in other words, preaching, in three stages or venues. First, we sing to God himself. This praise is the general praise of all worship. Shiru, a column imperative, is the simple act of singing. The music and cadence of worship helps the glory of God to remain in our minds and makes it easy to recall. This is not only true of music, but it's also true of such learning tools as the creeds and the catechism. Second, we tell of his salvation. Here the verb is the pe'el basru, bear tidings, a repetitive action of telling again and again, multiple times. This use of the verb is also hinted at with the expression day to day or day after day, miyom el yom, from day to day. The same pe'el stem can focus on the aim or intended result of the telling as well. The proclamation of God's salvation is done to create and sustain faith and to make God's people aware of God's plan of saving us. Third, we declare his glory and his marvelous deeds. To declare is another pe'el verb, safru, to recount or retell. It, too, carries a repetitive idea, and also the idea of aim or end result. To tell and retell the great deeds of the Lord is done with the object of faith and trust in God above all things. The description marvelous is an interesting Hebrew word, a participle from the root pala, to be extraordinary or to be wonderful, that is difficult to understand. God said to Samson's father, Manoah, why do you ask my name? It is wonderful, or in the NIV, beyond understanding. That's Judges 3:18. How marvelous and wonderful are all the things God has done for us through his Son Jesus Christ. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty, we say in Revelation 15:1. Confess the great and wonderful works of God. You are great and glorious, wonderful in strength, invincible. We will call him blessed, for he has done wonderful things among his people. Verses 25 and 26. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Three descriptions of God unfold in verse 25. Great, to be praised greatly, and to be feared above. And notice the latter climbing effect of the verse with these thoughts, since each of the three descriptions increases the idea. Great, be praised greatly, to be feared, finally coming to feared above all gods. And yet, as we know, the gods of the nations are nothing but idols, whereas the true God, the Lord, is the one who made the heavens. The word for idols in verse 26 is elilim, petty gods, or nothings. A man who makes an idol trusts in his own creation. He makes petty gods that cannot speak. That's Habakkuk 2:18. The question is sometimes asked, is the word God a title, that is an appellative, or a truly proper name? This was raised, in the 4th century by a sect called the Photinians, a group that denied the deity of Christ, saying the word God is the name of an office and responsibility rather than of nature and essence. Eniadnitus, writing on John chapter 1, I think that's how you pronounce his name. But there is a proper and a modified understanding of the word. When the name God is used for others besides the true God, it is always modified by restrictions added to by the text of the scripture. So we always find references such as so-called gods, 1 Corinthians 8:5. And the true God is the God whom no one is like, Exodus 8:10 and Jeremiah 10:7. He is the God of gods, Psalm 136:2. But they are never gods of or over the one God. He is the great God above all gods, Psalm 95. They are not gods above the great God. The true God, the great God, is God by nature. And the false gods, the idols, are by nature are not gods. That's Galatians 4:5. In general, wherever, and I'm quoting now from a 17th century theologian, wherever the name God is used, we must take it in a literal sense unless the circumstances of the text show the contrary. The clearest example is when he says, I am God and there is no other, Isaiah 45:22. And again, I am God and there is none like me, Isaiah 46:9. And Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me, John 8:42. And Paul greets his peers by saying, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, using name followed by title. That's in 1 Timothy 1:2, 2 Timothy 1:2, and Titus 1:4. David's simple statement of praise is that all of the gods of the people are idols, nothing but worthless nothings, but the Lord made the heavens. Our God is the one who created all things, the one who rescued us from the guilt of our sins, and the one who fills us with his Spirit, has brought us to faith, and sustains our faith through his word and sacrament, until in death we are at last set free from sin and are brought to his side forever. There is no idol, no godling, no petty god or nothing god that hears our prayers. Only the true God, the God of all, listens to his people and answers them. Only he invites us to pray boldly. Dear Heavenly Father, bless the spirits of our loved ones who are already with you in heaven. Bless and watch over their bodies, waiting for the resurrection. And bless their memories in our hearts. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.